This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm Mike Luoma, and I've got Chapter 17 of The Starseeds of Earth on the way. We're following Alibi Jones as he's headed back to the Hornet's Nest. Discovered that his Aunt Anita is involved with a gangster, basically. He's not too happy about these things, so Alibi Jones has decided to get dangerous. He's convened a meeting of those he hopes he can trust on board the Hornet's Nest, trying to figure out what they need to be more aware of as far as the alien forces of the Greater Tago, because they seem to be taking over the Solar Alliance with the help of its present prime representative, Nico Constantine. So the big question is, what sort of threat do they pose? So Alibi has convened a meeting on board the Hornet's Nest to try to get to the bottom of this and see where they should go next. And we'll listen in as we get into Chapter 17 coming up of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Don't have much in the way of news as far as book news or anything else goes. Just want to wish you a happy holiday season. If you've already celebrated Hanukkah, I hope that it was a joyful celebration. If you're celebrating Christmas and the solstice this coming week, I hope that you have wonderful celebrations. If it's Kwanzaa the week after, all the same. And Happy New Year to everybody. If you celebrate on the Western calendar, I suppose. I am going to take a week off. There will be no podcast next week, so no Christmas podcast, but then things will be coming back in the new year. And with that said, we will get into Chapter 17 next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
The Flash Pulp Podcast. 3 to 10 minutes of fiction brought to you thrice weekly. Now it's three apocalypses in one.
Yeah!
Suffering from tough, stuck-on humans? Well, 20 hellish hours of suffocation in the all-encompassing web of Karwick the Spider God will get them right out. Too many brains lying around? The ravenous mouths surrounding zombie-fighting Ruby will quickly clean those up. Nosy neighbors? Infect them with the murder plague, and watch as they dissolve into paranoid maniacs bent on the preemptive assassination of their friends and family. Why stop at one end of the world when you can have all three? You can find them all at flashpulp.com or search for them on iTunes.
Now here's Chapter 17 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio.
The Great Tatar themselves are an alliance of several different races, Chris said to the group gathered in Conference Room C. The Sektar are primary, with several subordinate races, number currently unknown. Humanity first encountered the Tektar, a not so intelligent race, low on the Great Tatar totem pole. He cleared his throat. After the fall of the Eldred, the Great Tatar began asserting its order on many of the central worlds of settled space. They expect member races to behave themselves and contribute to the general welfare of the Great Atar. However, the Great Atar decides that they will define that. Now, we have reports from Earth that the Great Atar are present there in alarming numbers.
Krish looked around the room, as if assessing the assembled group.
Are we secure in here, Alibi? Krish asked.
Yes, Alibi said. Looks like your stasis field is holding.
I am greatly concerned that one of our enemies is among us, Krish said. This is a very delicate subject. I would not put it past Anita to be working a solo angle on Gentry. But I'm afraid she may also be blinded somewhat by selfish desires. Whatever the reason, one of Constantine's allies is here, right now.
So let's guard our backs and watch our security, Alibi said. Krish, why don't you partition off some secure channels on the wands for this group to use, without letting my aunt know?
Yes, I can do that, Krish said. He frowned. But I still do not like this.
Neither do I, Krish, Alibi said. Point taken. We're good for now. Go ahead.
Thank you, Krish said. We have heard through numerous sources that Constantine's announced expansion of the Solar Alliance will not only be enforced by the Solar Alliance Interplanetary Force, but also by units from the Great Atar. It seems their embeds with safe forces in the solar system were just the beginning. They are now conducting additional joint maneuvers on Earth, training for cooperation in their anticipated enforcement of Constantine's power grab.
Expanding the Solar Alliance and the rights of all humankind to be what they can be, to fulfill their dreams. Alibi quoted Constantine's campaign material, then joked,
"In an orderly fashion, please."
Somehow, I don't see Sharkovsky on Depot embracing the Greater Ta, Bob said.
He won't have a choice, Alibi said. He's a good soldier. He'll go along. Constantine will need Depot for a base to take the rest of the fringe. Besides, Sharkovsky will soon answer to Gentry as governor, now that Constantine has legitimized him.
He's not going to like that either, Bob said.
Not the fringe, the reaches, Hector said. Constantine announced they will now be called the Depot Reaches, as part of the SA.
Should be the Overreaches, Alibi cracked.
And just think, we have the new governor right here. Doesn't do us any good, Emily said. We can't kill him. Gentry's already too powerful. Has his own private forces. If we kill or imprison him, they'd come and kill us.
I see you've given this some thought, Alibi said.
Maybe a little, Emily said.
Good, Alibi said. There's more on this that I need to speak to you and Krish about. Remind me before we adjourn.
Okay, she said.
Krish, I need you to lead a maintenance detail, Alibi said. Do a system check on the maneuvering drives for the base. The Hornet's Nest should be able to move, theoretically. But those engines are old and unused. Let's see what they look like.
You do know those were built only for minor adjustments in emergencies, correct?
Krish asked.
Sure, Alibi said.
I just didn't want you to think we could fly this base around, Krish said. It's not built like that. It's not a ship.
But we could move it, a little, if we had to, Alibi said.
Right? Theoretically, Krish said. Maybe. I will find out.
Thank you, Krish, Alibi said. Emily, did you get Kit here all settled? She looked at Kit, who shrugged, and then back to Alibi.
Pretty much, she said. He's in an apartment and on the meal plan.
Good, Alibi said. Now, I want you to delegate that intake process to someone else. As things get busier, I could see that alone taking up all of your time, and you're too valuable for that.
Oh, okay. Find someone, let me know who it is, and train them up, Alibi said. Get it off your plate in the next 2 weeks.
Gotcha.
While you're doing that, Let's get the cruiser back into action, Alibi said. Run some cargo. Make some SA credits. We're going to need funds. See what you can book for us. And see about renting another cruiser. We're going to need more ships. Yes, sir, Emily said. Kit, you ready to get back out into space?
I was just in space, Alibi Jones, Kit said. How do you think I got here?
Sorry, Kit, not quite what I meant, Alibi said. I meant on a more, well, regular basis. I want you to captain and pilot the cruiser. Take over the A.D. Foster.
Me?
Kit asked.
What will you do?
What I'm doing. Run this place, Alibi said. And I'll come along sometimes, too. Maybe you could let me captain a little bit when I do, for old time's sake.
Okay,
Kit said.
I guess I can do that.
Great, Alibi said. He changed the subject. We're going to start renting out more landing bays, but only after strict security checks. I don't want just anyone in here. But when the Greater Ta show up on Depot, on the Fringe, people are going to want other places to call home base. They're beginning to hear about us being out here, and that we're somewhere the Greater Ta isn't. That can be good for us. Get us more good people here. People like the quasi-legal status of stuff on the Fringe. The Greater Ta will want to end that and establish their order with the help of Constantine and Gentry. Really? Hector said. You're going to open this place up? Right under his nose? You know you're still going to have to cut Gentry in on that action. If he's around, he's going to see it. Maybe we won't have to cut him in, Alibi said. Isn't he going legit? Gentry is trying to maintain collections while he also takes on the governor title, Hector said. Tried to have it both ways, legal and illegal. He'd probably tell you to stop, but then he'd want a cut of what you made if you didn't. Great figures, Alibi said. Gentry is a powerful man. Probably feels he's given a lot up to go legit. What do we know about the other new governors? What are there, 4, including Gentry?
Yes, 4. But we do not know a lot, Krish said. Someone named Peterson was named governor of Kismet and the Expanses. Supposedly Lavalur's successor.
Peterson? Could be anyone, Alibi said. I met a couple different men who claimed to be Peterson. More a title than a name. Who else did Constantine name?
Vila on Cat's Eye, Krish said. Not named, already governor. Managed to hold on to the title while Constantine puffed it up a bit.
I remember him, Alibi said. Met him a few times, but it was years ago. Seemed like just your average politician.
And there is Dr. Randall, Krish said. Now Governor Randall, of Rigel IV. He was Constantine's man at the project. He was a bad doctor? But he made up for it by being a horrible administrator. Another winner.
Wonder how they all feel about the Greater Ta, Alibi said, now that they're working with them.
If we can judge by Gentry, Krish said, I don't believe these new governors knew of Constantine's involvement with the Greater Ta before agreeing to be part of his expansion plan.
Alibi smiled a humorless smile. Thank you, Krish, Alibi said. He looked around the room, and then fixed his sight on Kit. Kit, the Dakur have been dealing with the Greater Ta for a longer time than we humans. Can you fill us in with what you know? There was a moment's silence, as if Kit debated internally whether or not to answer, before he spoke.
None of you have any appreciation for the oppression brought by the Greater Ta. Kit said, finally. They offer peace only if one becomes a vassal state, and one must, because they are a nearly insurmountable enemy.
Insurmountable? Krish asked.
Yes, Kit said.
So you don't think there's any way we can beat them? Alibi asked. Stop them?
I have not given up trying, Kit said. I am here, but I have seen my world succumb. It is a slow thing, Nothing this dismal happens all at once. But your leader, Constantine, is weak. He sells you out.
Do you know of anyone who has successfully fought back against the Greater Ta? Alibi asked.
Not yet, Kit said. However, now that the Greater Ta have access to human space, they grow disturbed by your race's chaos. They do not hide their disdain for humankind and your disorder. Because of this, I can see your race fighting them, and winning.
Really? Alibi asked.
Yes, Kit said. The irrationality that erupts from within your people is often alarming in its sudden chaotic manifestations. Completely disordered. You can surprise them and win.
Alibi smiled. Krish, Hector, Bob, Janice, and Emily all stared at Kit. Completely disordered, Alibi said. And if I remember right, we smell like
sweaty, stinky meat,
too, right? Kit here just loves us human beings.
No, I do not love you, Kit said. In fact, you are hard for me to take for those reasons.
Then you really must think we can win, Krish said, to put up with us.
You do things that do not make sense, Kit said. That unpredictability might help. That is all I am saying.
We do? Alibi asked.
I will relate with a story, Kit said. There is a human on Paradise I met, named Joseph Beeman. He told other humans he was a guru. He said he could see what he called auras, energy patterns, I guess. I could not see them. And he activated chi, another energy I could not see in other humans, or so he told them.
Kit paused.
To me? None of this made any sense. But other humans were changed by him. Whatever he did, they became very energetic. And they gave him money. Some stayed and lived with him. Some called him a magician. Others went away disappointed. Their behavior was not predictable. None of it seemed to actually be real. But he is still there, doing this, to this day. And humans come to him and give him their money and are changed. That sort of unpredictability could be to your advantage.
We're just crazy enough to win? Alibi said.
Yes, that would be a way of putting it, Kit said.
The Greater Ta doesn't like our religions, Hector said. I know that for a fact. They've been discouraging Constantine from helping the NCC at all.
I have heard of some new religious worlds popping up, Krish said. New colonies, founded as faiths get chased off of Earth. There is a recent one founded by the remnants of the Universal Islamic Nation. And a new Christian one, too. On Fortuna. Light people, or people of the light. Something like that.
Humankind still has a mystic element, Alibi said. That could work in our favor.
There are true abilities developing in human beings, Krish said. Telepathic? Psionic? However you choose to label them. Provable? Reproducible? Unfortunately, that makes it possible for a lot of myths and quackery to claim their own share of invisible powers that do not hold up under scrutiny. However, the power of the human mind, or will, being what it is, it can be convinced it has power through the suggestions of even charlatans and work change in the world.
I don't believe in anything I can't see, Janice said, speaking for the first time. But let people have their fun. I don't think we can rule out the development of further abilities by the human mind, Alibi said.
Alibi is being modest, Krish said. He has been developing abilities. He once performed a remote viewing so accurate, we charted a transspace jump from star coordinates he saw with his mind.
I did, didn't I? And who knows what I'll be able to do now, after the gift.
I saw him do this as well, Kit said, though I had forgotten it. This, too. All of this makes you humans dangerous to the greater Ta.
And ourselves sometimes, Emily said, with a little laugh.
There is more you need to know, Kit said. The greater Ta is more than the Sekta and the Tekta.
Yes, Krish said. We have heard the Sekta have other races under them, like the Tekta.
No, Kit said. You have not yet met those who dominate the Sekta. They are not in charge of the greater Ta. They are but its bureaucrats. They run things. They are scouts.
The Sekta aren't in charge? Alibi asked.
Not at all, Kit said. The Shenta lead them. And we have not yet met any above the Shenta thus far. As the Shenta look like giant human robots, we have no desire to see what would dominate them. They make a disturbing and impactful first impression.
Something to look forward to, Alibi cracked. Giant human-looking robots, huh? I need to know more about these Shenta, Krish said, excited.
Yes, Kit said, you do. The Shenta are foes to be reckoned with. Compound creatures. A biological sensate possessed by a parasitical energy creature. The energy creatures are of great age and move from host to host as they use them up. They breed many hosts for this purpose.
So they're a twofer, Alibi said. Awesome. Why do they look like us?
It was not always so, Kit said. They once wore armored exosuits in which they resembled larger versions of the Sekta, with the biological sensate in some sort of harness inside, and the energy parasite visible through a smoky, translucent dome on top, through which it could interact. The biological sensates are bipedal, presumably. But it is unclear how many dexterous limbs they have. We once thought four. Now they show only two. Their armor changed after the demise of the Eldred.
Oh, really? Alibi said. Isn't that interesting?
The greater Ta were faithful to the Eldred's rule, Kit said. Their rage for order is a relic of the stagnant society maintained by the Eldred for a million years after the defeat of the ancient enemy.
I did not realize they went back that far, Krish said.
Oh, yes, Kit said. The Shenta remember and fought against the ancient enemy. Towards the end of the war, they became allies of the servants, helping in their overthrow of their masters, helping them become the Eldred. They accepted an edict from the Eldred, prohibiting them from developing new bodies of armor, modeled on the ancient enemy themselves.
And now that the Eldred are gone, so is their edict, Alibi said, and their old armor.
Just so, Kit said. They spent centuries inhabiting their other armor. But now, much different.
How tall are they? Hector asked.
Between 7 to 10 feet, Kit said. They built them larger than the ancient enemy. For intimidation.
Are there any of the old models still around? Alibi asked.
No, Kit said. When the Eldred died out all those years ago, the Shenta made a mass switch. Some said they brought a race's worth of new bodies out of storage. That they had been quietly defying the Eldred for millennia, in anticipation of a future time without them.
That's cold, Emily said.
Orderly, Kit said. One day, there were those old Shenta. The next day, the new ones. The domes were gone, replaced by human-looking skulls, opaque in the back to mimic hair, translucent on the sides and front, molded to resemble human faces. Inside, the energy creature can be seen, its individual energy spectrum continually zapping around inside the crystalline matrix seen beneath each face's exterior.
A race of giant robots, Chris said. If it wasn't the Greater Ta, I'd say awesome.
So why haven't we seen them yet? Alibi asked.
I imagine that you will soon,
Kit said.
They do not usually appear until after the Sekta secure their initial promises of cooperation and order. One imagines they have revealed themselves to your Constantine at this point.
The Dakur finished speaking. No one had anything to say in response as they all digested this new information. After a moment's silence, Alibi picked things back up. Thank you, Kit, Alibi said. That's big. We needed to know about the Shenta.
You are welcome, Kit said. There will be war with the Greater Ta. I may be one of only a few who can see this, but it is plain to me. War is coming. That is why I am here.
We need to know more, Alibi said to the group, about the Shenta and the Greater Ta. Know our enemies. How many Sekta are embedded with safe forces? Where are they? Krish?
Yes, Alibi?
You still know people, right?
I still have contacts out there, yes, Krish said. Some.
I heard you bragging to Billy Gentry about your network, Emily said. Comparing sizes. But you didn't know about the Shenta.
Really now, Chris said. Well, I didn't know to ask.
And now we know, Alibi said. Let's find out the disposition of the safe and Greater Ta forces. Ask them what they know, Krish.
They don't work that way, Chris said. Not exactly. They are more gray marketeers. They bring me artifacts and such.
Krish, you always figure out how to make stuff work, Alibi said. I'm sure you can here. Hector, Janice, Bob, you guys keep your ears open, too.
Will do. Yep, sure thing.
All right, Alibi said. That's all for now. Meeting adjourned. Krish and Emily, stick around for a minute, would you? The other three left. Alibi double-checked the security of the conference room with his wand. Still good. I need your help on something hush-hush, Alibi said. I have to go meet Aunt Anita and you-know-who for dinner. I'll be a little late. This is important. I want to make some modifications to the security systems for Aunt Anita's arboretum. Like all of this stuff, we can't be obvious about it.
That was Chapter 17 of the Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Alibi Jones isn't sure he can trust his Aunt Anita anymore, not now that she's involved with Billy Gentry. And he has to meet the two of them for dinner next, and we'll join them. So we'll have some dinner with Anita and Billy Gentry and Alibi Jones coming up in our next episode, which is going to be in a couple weeks. I am taking next week off, as I was mentioning a little bit earlier before the chapter. So happy holidays. Hope you enjoy them. Hope you enjoy some time off yourself. And I will be back around with Chapter 18 of the Starseeds of Earth on our next episode. I'm your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.
Glow in the Dark Radio. Radio.
This podcast presentation is copyright 2021 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.